All right. So it's a pleasure to have Nell with me. I've known Nell since 2004, during the time she lived in Dubai and organized networking events for the expat communities. Nell is a serial entrepreneur and has an international work experience. After her husband unexpectedly passed away in 2008 while she was living here in Dubai, and then she returned back to Germany. Today, Nell lives in Hamburg and manages her own coaching practice with a focus on self-leadership. She teaches the inner transformational method, sharing with people how to access their resourceful state of being in a flow, being calm and centered, which is not dependent on anything or anyone. Nell created a program called SLIO or SLIO, Self-Leadership Inside Out. And she also hosts live group sessions on Zoom called Core Confidence Circle, where leaders meet together, practicing and cultivating their inner resourceful states until these powerful states manifest as their part of being. Nell, it's a pleasure to reconnect and have you back here.
Yeah, thank you, Ashraf. It's also a pleasure for me after a long time.
You know, this topic of subconscious and conscious is gaining a lot of momentum in recent times. And I came across a couple of quotes, and let's say one of them, you know, it's one of those past quotes where it says, I think it was attributed to Mark Twain or somebody in the past. I'm an old man and I've known many great troubles, and most of them never happened. You know, I've known many troubles, but most of them never came true. Yeah. So much of these issues are in our mind, and you know, the subconscious is more of a survival trigger or system which tries to avoid problems for us. But at the same time, it does create a lot of problems. And when I see that you've been working on something called self-leadership, the way I perceive it is it's like a confluence of the old ideas of like psychoanalysis and cognitive behavioral therapy and also personal development. But this is something new. And the work that you've done with your clients and the outcomes and the results that you've achieved is quite impressive. I want to know more from you, Nell. What is self-leadership inside out? And how do you define, or how do we understand this?
Yes, that's, in fact, you're right. Self-leadership is something about intentionally influencing through something external, the thinking, the feelings, or the behavior. And when we say intentionally, you know, this intentionally means I'm doing something to myself from the external. Like, for example, affirmation, I'm telling to myself every day in front of the mirror, I'm the best. And then suddenly I, you know, this is supposed to influence me, but this is something I do from the outside. And, or, you know, people have negative self-talks with themselves in the morning. First thing, they criticize themselves. And, you know, the idea of getting this mindset and becoming positive about yourself. So there is something always intentional. And when we talk about self-leadership inside out, it's something just happens automatically. So when I talk about self-leadership inside out, it means I'm not fixing myself. I don't need to do positive self-talk intentionally because I am already thinking positive about myself. So there is this deep knowing.
Also, it's almost like it's effortless. You don't have to take any effort. Your default system is, you know, you don't have to do any self-talk. You just get into the flow.
Absolutely. And this is about self-leadership inside out, which means I'm not needing to do any rituals or self-talks or affirmations. It's just there. And everybody have this core state. It's just really the matter of getting there and activating it.
Yeah. So, Nell, why would it be that there's been a lot of talk about affirmations and positive self-talk you know, athletes and, you know, celebrities. Why is that not a good thing? Like, why shouldn't you be, you know, recurring and doing your affirmations each time? Yeah.
Oh, that's a very good question. I didn't say it's not a good thing. It's when it works for someone, it's excellent. Okay. If like you say to yourself, yes, I can do it, and you really can do it, then it's perfect. Then just go ahead and do it. The problem comes is when you look at the mirror, and I know some woman, she thought she is not beautiful enough. So she looked at the mirror and she said to herself, I am beautiful. And there is something inside this unconscious comes and say, no, you're not. And that's the problem. Because this affirmation can become even a bigger conflict inside. Because if you say something from your head, but your unconscious mind doesn't believe it, then...
Yeah, if it is true, yes. Why did you have to repeat it?
Yes, exactly. Okay. And so the idea of inside out is that it's just there inside. And affirmations are good, so I suggest always... When you do affirmations and they work for you, excellent. But just check on the inside. Is all of you agree to this affirmation, or there is a part of you who says, no, it's not true, you know? And then if there is a part of you which is against this affirmation, then there is more deeper work to be done, because obviously this is the unconscious part.
Yeah.
And this is another interesting aspect of this self-leadership inside out. It's about parts.
Okay.
So there is a part of you which doesn't believe that, doesn't believe that he will win the gold medal, right? So there is a part of you. It's not all of him. And so we work with that part also. Okay.
Interesting. So can you give an example of, because it sounds amazing, sounds nice.
Yes.
If you could just give an example of how can you address this part which doesn't agree with the whole being, and how do you convince or persuade this little part so that it comes in alignment with my whole self?
Absolutely. That's really a very good question. The work I do is actually based on this part's work, because it's actually an idea of... we are made of parts, you know, like the spiral notebook. I don't have one here with me. You know, there are many pages, and in the middle there is the spiral holding all the pages, right?
Yeah.
This, I think it's called also college block or something in English.
Yeah, I think
it has
your video quality is, I think your internet may have, your video quality is a bit low. Continue. I think I can still hear you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there are many parts that we have, like this spiral notebook, right? So every page in that notebook is a part of you. And this part is kind of wants something positive for you. So even though this athlete, let's say gold medal athlete, have this part telling him, no, it's not true, you cannot win this gold medal, this part has positive intention. And we don't know what is this positive intention, right? We need to connect to this part through this unconscious level, and then we don't try to get rid of this part, because that would be, again, not ecological for the whole system. Because you would not, like, get rid of the page of the book, right? It's a whole book, right? And then we'll work with that part, and we'll ask this part, what is that that you want? And we give that part what it wants, and find this higher purpose, the positive intention of that part, because it wants something positive.
Yeah. So how do you do this, Nell? Like, do you ask a series of questions, or is there a specific framework? How do you go about tapping into this, you know, this sort of gap or weakness within this individual so you can recognize that this is a part which doesn't align with the entire whole being, and this is something that needs correction. So how do you identify this? What's your methodology? Is there a framework? Do you ask questions? Or if you could just give a brief on what your system is.
Yes, that's really a great question. Yes, there is this method which not just look at the part, but also integrate this part. As I said, there is a spiral in between, right, on this notebook. So those pages, and we have many parts, like 100 or 200 different parts, but there is this center in the middle, the spiral which holds all the pages, and know all the pages, the center, the state, the core, that's what we say, core. That's actually not a part. It's your core self. And this part is a doorway for us to get connected to our own core state. And this is where this healing comes and integration of that part comes, so that this part, which would say you are not to the athlete, you cannot win the gold medal, right? We will ask a line of questions. That's right. What do you want? What is your higher purpose? And this part may say, well, I don't want you to be disappointed if you lose. And then you say, oh, thank you so much for taking care of me and trying to protect me from the possible disappointment, right?
Okay.
And then there is a positive intention of that part, and we don't override this part or get rid of it or kind of program it or whatever. We get in touch and we communicate. And that's why this process is very gentle. And that's why this process, it doesn't override anything in my system. It contributes to my core.
Okay. See, what I understand from this is there are certain scripts or beliefs that are formed in an individual when he or she is a child, 6 or 7 years old. And it could be fear of disappointment or not doing something which might be considered a certain a good or bad thing. So so these beliefs are carried when the person becomes adult, and what your system does is you are gentle in the approach, as though you are addressing a small child, and you're not trying to rewire or override the system, but you are trying to speak to this child, speak to this part, and communicate and say, okay, is your problem of disappointment? Then don't worry, you will not be disappointed. Is your fear is that you'll be shamed? Then do not worry, you will not be shamed. So it's like an analogy of, you're communicating with a small child, which is beautiful. So, how does the individual completely transform, or what happens after this process?
You're right in a sense that you're saying we're talking to this part, because this part was created probably in the age of whatever, but definitely until the age of, 7 or 8. We don't know for sure, but it's very young part. And the thing is that it was created at that time to help you cope with some difficulty in that time in your childhood, right? Because this part didn't know any better at that time. And so when we communicate with this part, we let this part know, but we don't really try to manipulate this part or something. We really ask, what is it that you want? And this part says, yeah, well, I want the protection. And then you say, okay, when you have this protection fully and completely, what do you want then? And then this part says, then I want recognition of others. And then we say, okay, and now when you get this recognition, what do you want then? And by asking this question again and again, we go to the highest purpose of that part. And then the part says, maybe, well, I want, after I have recognition, then I want love. And then we say, okay, and when you have love, what do you want then?
Yeah.
And then the part says, then I want to give love, for example. And okay. And then it's in a position of merging with all this universal love.
Okay.
And then this part wants something actually from other people, like recognition. And then while we communicate with this part and go into this process, it wants something which is, cannot be given or received.
Yeah.
Which is something which is not dependent on anything, because this universal love, for example, right? It's just there. It's just there.
Mm.
And so this problem of not having of a part thinking you are not good enough to win the gold medal actually brings us to this universal love.
Yeah.
And this didn't came from the outside. From the within, through this process, because I was asking questions, so this part reached that resource. So that problem became a doorway to this resourceful state of universal love, which comes from within. And that's why it's lasting, and that's why it's gentle, and that's why it's so powerful. And this is how I help people reach those states. And it is within them already. It's just they don't maybe need some help really finding it.
Okay. So the reason for the lasting change is because, you know, it's not just a quick fix. There's been like a healing process. You've gone and you've communicated to that part, and that part is completely healed. So that, you know, it doesn't reoccur with the same issues again, so the same doubts and self-limiting beliefs don't keep popping up. Okay, so that's the difference between, so I mean, there's been like we spoke about there's been a lot of work on psychoanalysis, like books like What to Say When You Talk to Yourself, or The Power of Your Subconscious Mind, or Psycho-Cybernetics, and which is the other book? I mean, yeah, these three books I can sort of recall. And I did have an opportunity to go through most of them multiple times over the years. And the subconscious affecting the conscious is something which is non-debatable. Like what you've been programmed as whatever you during your formative years have affected you. So your conscious, which is your real world, will, you know, your decisions you make or you don't make, you know, the choices, good or bad, all of this is affected by your subconscious wiring. But my question is, how is this, what you do, different from like psychoanalysis or cognitive behavior therapy? And one thing you've spoken definitely is lasting change. What are the benefits can I find with your program?
Well, the thing is that with psychoanalysis, it's all good things and it's all fine. It just really goes really very analytical. And you also myself, after my husband passed away, I did a lot of things to overcome this this situation, because obviously I had my own issues.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you're comfortable speaking about it, but I'd like to know what happened after your husband passed away. If you're comfortable, just give us your journey and how this whole thing sort of merged into you taking this field. If you can just circle back, if you just spend a few minutes talking about that.
Well, I'm actually absolutely comfortable speaking about it because I completely healed from this situation. You know, and that's actually for me also the signal or a sign. I can speak about it and it really doesn't make me emotional because it's healed, it's over. And absolutely. And
it was quite unexpected. Like he wasn't sick, you know, it was not like, you know, he was having a terminal illness. It was just one day that you know, I remember you sent a message, you sent me a message, you sent, there's a message saying, it's early in the morning, I saw this email saying, my husband passed away, and I couldn't process it.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, it wasn't real.
Yes.
So what happened after that?
Well, what's happened after that? For 2 years, I was busy with work. I mean, well, being a workaholic, obviously that was my first reaction to escape to work.
Okay.
And make myself busy. So I was busy, and I was just, you know, jetting the world and just doing a lot of work so that I don't think about that. But obviously this kind of distraction coping mechanism worked for 2 years. But then one day it's hit me again. And of course, obviously my system said, you know, our unconscious is very smart, right? It brought me back to the situation where I had to look at the issue. And then I was doing psychotherapy for 3 years. And it actually helped me to understand many things, but it didn't heal. And this is where we say, okay, these methods which let us understand things, they are good. But it's not enough to heal the thing, because let's say you know why you have a problem, you know you have a trauma, you know what the trauma is, you know all about this, and then it still doesn't help you really to do the how. And with the process I do, we actually do the how. Okay, how do I heal? And then I was angry at my husband, really upset, because I felt he betrayed me, because he just died, you know, and left me alone. And, you know, we had business together, we had life together, we did everything together. And then I felt like, okay, how, you just left me alone, you know. So I was really, really upset, and I couldn't forgive him because he died, which is obviously from the cognitive, you know, I understood that it really doesn't make sense to be upset at that person, but I couldn't emotionally do it. And I'd really tried many things, from coaching to hypnosis to different things. And really what helped me was that process of going inside and finding this part which was upset. It kind of was a part which felt kind of left alone, you know? And then I work with that part. I say, what do you want? And this part says, well, I want to say I'm not agreeing to this situation. And then I said, okay, so what do you want then? When you already expressed your disappointment or not being agree, that what do you want then? And then this part said, well, then I want to relax. And then I said, okay, so when you relax, and what do you want then? And, you know, there were answers. In the end, the part said, I want to have connection with everything. And then I said, and what do you want then, when you're already connected with everything? And it's actually not a thinking. It's you kind of experience this from the body. You have body experience, like you are connected to the universe and to the whole thing, and all things connected to you. And then the part says it doesn't want anything else. That was the most important resource for that part. And that's how I felt strong. And that's how this situation actually brought me to my core state. And to be honest, now it's how many years? 14 years. I got married again 3 years ago. And somehow I feel, it was there, and I'm totally normal to speak about it without really going into tears or without really, it's there. It was there and it's happened, and that's okay, you know? So you're kind of accepting it and just say, okay.
you mentioned something which caught my interest in the beginning. You said, I'm not judging, but it's a fact. You know, it is not right, it's not wrong, it's not good, it's not bad. It's just a fact.
Yes.
So that's interesting. I mean, is this something you came as a part of your realization.
Yes.
That it's just there, you know.
Yeah. So
could you just expound more on what you mean by just a fact? Like, I'm not no right, no wrong.
Well, I think while I'm, of course, working with myself still a lot, and really I'm my worst client for myself, and I have many parts, and I'm a former workaholic, I had my trauma, and I had all those issues, and I have really many things to work on myself, and I'm not ready yet, right? And but what I learned through the process is that all these parts, you know, there is a part which is upset about something, but there is a part which wants to be relaxed, and they all belong to this book, and they are all centered and connected to this core. And you just say, there is no right and there is no wrong from this core perspective.
Okay.
And I learn also not to judge, and still I'm learning this, I'm not ready yet, but like, who I am to judge, because I don't know the whole picture, and I will not know the whole picture. Never, ever I could know everything about everyone. So who I am to judge? I mean, so I just, it's actually also about being in the being. Like, okay, it's raining. Okay, it's sunny. Okay. You know?
When is the point where you realize that you are now like healed, or you made sort of a closure with the death of your husband, and you know that now I can move on and get married? So what is the point where you realize this? Like, how did this realization came to be? Like, was there a certain event or a spark of realization? When do you know when you're ready, essentially?
This is really very interesting question, because obviously while I was working on this issue, I was thinking, I'm done. So I'm done, I'm now free and whatever. And then this part, you know, this part, it will come back and test you again. Are you really, really, really done? So there will be always situations like I'll watch a movie where somebody died or a spouse died or someone is in the hospital. And this movie would trigger something in me like this. And then I would know, oh, you are not done yet. There is still something going inside. And then I, you know, even when I was getting married to my husband, which is now Peter husband, we were submitting our documents to the, to this, I don't know how you call it, to the court in English, how you call this when you submit your documents for getting married?
Yeah, to the court here. Yeah.
Yes, to get this marriage certificate.
To legalize your marriage. Yeah.
Yes, so we were submitting this, and I was crying, and my you know, now the husband's like, he was totally confused, like, why is she crying because she's getting married or submitting the documents? I was not ready, though I was doing the steps from my head, but something inside me was not ready. But, you know, I had really great, great luck and gift of having this partner at my side. So he gave me my space, right? So even though we were doing all those steps, I was still something not, still emotionally not 100% ready, right? And the moment I understood I was ready, there was a... maybe you know this situation. There was a football game. I don't know which game exactly, but during the football game, there is one football player. He got a heart attack, and they were transmitting it through the TV.
Yeah, it was live. Yes.
You know, remember this game?
Yeah, I remember. I don't remember which game it was. But I do remember, yeah.
I can't remember also the details. And you know, my husband died from heart attack. So anything with heart attack usually would trigger me like this, you know, and I would just go and whatever would happen to me emotionally. And that time I was watching TV, and this guy in the middle of a football game get a heart attack, and I was quiet.
It didn't affect you.
The trigger wasn't there. And I was like, wow.
Okay. Okay.
I'm not reacting. And it's not something I did, because you cannot do this or not do this. It's just happened unconsciously, right?
Yeah.
And this trigger wasn't there. And for me, it was the sign. Okay, I'm done. And okay. And that's the unconscious mind, you see? Because you said something, unconscious mind is there. And I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's there to keep us safe and everything.
Yeah, survival.
But not only.
Yeah.
I also believe the unconscious mind is there for us to let us thrive also.
Mm.
Of course, survival is important, but many people who survive still, they want to achieve something, they want to be a legend, they want to do evolution, they want to contribute to a human being, to the community. So this also unconscious mind, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I personally believe in the power of the subconscious or unconscious mind.
Yeah.
I'll give you an incident. What happened is a friend of ours, he wanted to come to India.
Mm.
He's British and he needs a visa to come to India. Mm. And he's been to India before. He's been to India before, a year before that. Now, while filling up the visa application, so I was at his house. We're filling up the visa application so we could travel to India together. It asked for the, have you ever traveled to India before? He said, yes. What's your visa number? Now, he didn't have his visa number because all the documents, he didn't know where he had placed it. It was not on the phone. Checked all the WhatsApp messages. We messaged everybody, whoever met him in India. Do you remember who came to pick him up at the airport in India? Do you remember his visa, you know, any copy of his visa? Nobody had it. Now, what I had done is I had taken up this, I was reading about the subconscious and conscious mind, and I knew that you could tap into your subconscious mind if you needed some information.
Okay. Yes.
So, and this is something with which the scientists used to do in the past.
Yes.
If they had a problem, they would fall asleep.
Yes.
And you know, they would get these answers while they're asleep.
Yes.
And then they would wake up and they'd immediately have a pen and a pad ready and they would write it down. So I told him, okay, I'll tell you where the visa is. Okay. But I need to sleep. Believe it or not, this is what I did. So I'm in his house and I doze off and I sleep. Okay. It was like I got up pretty early in the morning, so I knew that I was sleepy. So I fell asleep, and when I slept with this intention that I need to check his visa, I actually saw the page in his passport, and there was a stamp, and it was a rectangle, and there were numbers within that rectangle. I actually saw it in my dream. Then I woke up in 10 minutes. I woke up and I told him, it's inside your passport in the stamp. So it's in the stamp. So he goes and he opens a drawer, takes his passport, opens a page where to stand, and he says, yes, it is it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And exactly the way I saw it. I've never seen it before.
Yeah.
But I could see the exact triangle stamp and the numbers within that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So the subconscious mind is strange. Like you could tap to do, get information which it was never exposed to. It's out of, you know, out of nowhere, which I believe, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. And this really beautiful example. Thanks for sharing this amazing story, by the way. Really amazing. I'm impressed. Wow. Yeah. Wow. And to be honest, we still don't know how this unconscious is connected to our brain, right? Because brain is something which we think is a representation of our unconscious mind because it's physical, right? It's there and we could cut it and see it, whatever the scientists will do with that. So we know a lot about the brain as a physical organ, right?
Yeah.
But we still don't know how this unconscious is actually connected to the brain because it communicates through the brain, right, as a central organ. But how, but how it does, we still don't know that.
Yeah, it's true. It's a mystery, definitely. It's a mystery.
And another thing I just wanted to mention, we think we have one brain, which is actually, our representation of mindset or whatever. And I wrote a book about it, actually. It's more than brain. It's also a heart set, and it's also yes. a gut set, because there are a lot of neural connections around our hearts, and sometimes we feel things through the heart and not through the brain, and exactly. also through the solar plexus, our gut, you know, stomach, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
there is a
your gut feeling.
Gut feeling, and it is actually there.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, they all communicate with the brain as a center.
Exactly.
And sometimes there is one way communication. Your gut can send information to the brain, but the brain cannot send information to your gut. So exactly. So when I work with people through my method, brain is important, but I also work with other centers, with a heart center okay. and with a gut center, because there is a, you know, during the sessions that we do at conscious and conscious level, they are both, right?
Yeah.
This connection, this communication goes both ways. And that's why it's another yes. reason why it's lasting. Because it's just not exactly. the brain. You also feel it in your bones. You feel it in your nerves. You feel it in your muscles.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, So the whole, the works in the past have been focused only on the brain. And the whole nervous system wasn't taken into consideration, nor was your microbiome in your gut. And, like you said, the synapses and the other connections which are connected to your brain, your spinal cord. So those things are still not addressed. They were not addressed. So now the body of research and the body of the work that you are doing is, go back and ask those questions, to that part where, you're not only taking care of the brain, but every part of your nervous system and your solar plexus and your spinal. So all of those are a part of your whole being. They also need to be addressed.
Yes.
And it's interesting that, there's a lot of validation with science as we speak, the new research coming out. And like you rightly mentioned about the brain, which is not only limited to your actual brain and head, but there are decisions which are being taken through your stomach. But this is being validated, actually, as we speak. I mean, there are research which are talking about the importance of biomes and microbiomes in your decision-making.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
Your spasm and so much of your movement and all of that is and does contribute to, your overall well-being or the lack of it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And especially, the immune system is also very much influenced by that. But imagine how would it be that you unconsciously know what you need to eat to support your body and your immune system without really knowing all those research and whatever, really knowing through the books, you would just know by the feeling like, okay, today I need more proteins and today I need more vitamin D or whatever. And you wouldn't know this because you did a blood test. You would know this because your body is telling you, because you trust. And this is also where unconscious and your body, of course, connected. And we now...
I like this. I like this. I like what you said. The fact is, we only go by the biomarkers, or the metrics. If you have high, insulin, elevated insulin, then you reduce your carbohydrate intake or sugar or excess protein. But your body should tell you what to eat, when to eat, stop eating. Including alarm clocks, you should just get up in the morning without an alarm clock.
Yeah. Many people do that because we all have this internal clock installed in us, right? And so the unconscious mind, I find it's really very, very powerful. And if we learn how to activate it more, we don't need to spend energy on thinking, because thinking is also a lot of requires a lot of energy. Or let's say I have negative self-talks and I need to reprogram myself to do positive self-talks. That's exhausting. That's a lot of work.
And
imagine you just do it automatically. And imagine also, instead of like, because I also have women who want to lose weight, but they cannot lose weight because they're eating emotionally. They don't eat because they're hungry. They eat because they want to eat some unhappy emotions, right? So whatever they're unhappy, she goes and eats, I don't know, ice cream or cake, you know. So obviously there is unconscious mind trying to protect her from something and then gives her this. But this kind of wrong coping strategy, and if we go deeper and find out, okay, what is this part actually wants through this cake? And then the part would say, well, I want you to feel well, or to feel not to feel alone or whatever, you know. And when we go to this root of the problem, then there is no need for a cake.
Exactly. Now, Nell, you worked with senior leaders, CEOs of companies. Now, when we think of people managing a lot of other people below them, like maybe thousands or 10,000 people, we have this impression that they have their affairs together, they have their mindset and everything together. But I read, like, you work with them on anger management issues. You work with them on some basic issues. What are the challenges that leaders have when they work with, when they come to you, and how do you resolve them? Because we have this impression that they are above average in terms of you know, the way they deal with life and they deal with problems, stress, you know, high level of tolerance. But when I actually read the work that you've done, they are facing some fairly basic issues. So do you want to talk about it?
Yes, sure. And I think it really comes back that human beings are, at the end of the day, you know, have kind of similar needs, right? And the high performer, which come to me, they have, of course, many of them are stressed, because they have a lot of responsibility, they manage teams, they have companies. So this stress level makes them always work and manage and look for solutions. And they cannot obviously show their weakness. They don't have really opportunity to talk about their fears or what bothers them. And even they don't know, many times they don't know that they are afraid of something, because they don't know how to be afraid, but their system is anxious. And then the health issue comes, and then suddenly there is a health problem, right? Or many leaders, like at the C level, to cope with the stress and with the responsibilities, they cannot relax at night at home. Yeah. And you know, there's many often addictions involved to cope with this. And, you know, this coping is also kind of a part, right? It trying to help the CEO to manage the whole thing, right? But it's kind of find the old strategy from the childhood. And this CEO now needs a new strategy, which is more core, or brings him actually to where he wants to be. And so they're, many times they are very lonely, because there is nothing, there is nobody they can talk to. They cannot really show what they bother them. So issues like that. And but what is really common in them, that as a child, what I see as a child, and we talk about this childhood conditioning, right? somehow they were raised in such a way that they needed to be perfect, they needed to have good school notes, they needed to be really excellent in order to get love or to get appreciation or to get maybe attention of a father or whatever. They needed to have this performance, right? And then they're good, and then they got this recognition. And this something really helped them to achieve, to become who they are. So they have financial freedom, they already achieve everything, but still there is some emptiness. Even though they know all and they achieve it all, there's still something missing, you know. And it's just like trading work to receive appreciation.
Okay. So you go to them with the same process where you try to address a certain part of them which needs to be communicated and asked why, and then try to resolve it from the very base.
Yes.
Okay. So
just
why is, yeah, sure, go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. So this is what we do. We say, okay, there is a part of you which needs, I don't know, for example, I don't know, one guy, he had, I don't know, 5 cars. And he wants to buy a 6th car, right? Like, so why do you want this car? You already have the car and you already... So we start to communicating with this part. Like, what do you want through having this 5th Porsche or whatever? And he said, yeah, I want recognition and then appreciation and then maybe love of other people and that I'm good enough, right? So this part wants to just show I'm good enough, and that's why I have all these cars. But if you give this part that it already is good enough without having the car, then suddenly it's not important to have this all. Because they got to the state which is not dependent on a car or anybody telling them anything. It's just there.
Okay. So is this, we spoke about addressing some of, the base issues, but... this is surviving, but also about thriving. Like you mentioned, one of the examples was we should automatically, without like unintentionally, we should know what to eat. You know, how much proteins to eat or whatever. So a body should tell us. Similarly, our state of being, responding to life in a certain way. Doing it in a way of more grounded or more settled. But you also mentioned, or I've read somewhere when I was reading through Calm Confidence, about loneliness. You mentioned loneliness and some other issues. What other issues can this system solve apart from only surviving? In terms of thriving, what other areas can we cover? Can we make better investment decisions? Can I make better, if I have to purchase something, will I know, what's right for me, what's not good for me, my choices and my decisions and my investments? So is this something that can help me in those matters?
Yes, and in fact. You see, when you take a decision from the perspective of one part, let's say you want to make an investment, and the part which wants to, which is, for example, greedy after money, and if you make the decision from this part, and this part is leading you in this decision, then it could be it's kind of ego part, and it could be that it really doesn't bring you to real true satisfaction and fulfillment. But if you go back to the core and make this decision from your core state, let's say you make a decision of investment from the state of, okay, I want to contribute to, wellness or well-being of other people, including my family and my child, then suddenly you might make a totally different decision for your investment. Right. Maybe you would not gamble with your money, but maybe you will invest it somewhere more conservative. You know, I'm just talking. I don't know about exactly yeah. what I'm in the situation, but and this is the thing. I have a lot of founders of a company who would say, okay, I need to go to new market. I need to invest money or find funding for my new project, for example, I don't know, medical research project. So then when we work on this and we say, so what do you want this part when you achieve that? And if sometimes it's a kind of, I want a contribution to the whole world, or it's say, well, I want approval for myself, for example, right? And obviously you can make decisions and you can be successful after going after your projects. But then the question is at what cost? Because I've seen many people who achieved everything, but still they're not happy because, you know, the family is not working, the kids are not really loving the dad, or, you know, whatever, there is something missing still, right? Because the decision is made not from the core, but from the part.
Okay. Do you think, Nell, everything that we do, like we spoke about eating, we spoke about investment, you know, like responding to challenges in life, like, should we be questioning? There's a part in every aspect of our being, you know, like studying or living or eating or exercising. Should we be questioning everything and going back to the core?
No, why? Why to work so hard? Okay. Just, I mean, if it is incongruent with you and you are fine and everybody's around is also fine, then maybe you are already in your core and you just live from your core. But which is anyway idealistic, you know, nobody is so perfect all the time in the core, you know, that's not possible. But, you know, if we are kind of practicing it more, we'll just maybe be more in this core state. But it's not really, it's not possible to be all the time in core, you know, somebody driving like crazy in front of you and you obviously get triggered, right? Like, who is this idiot driving crazy?
Should we be aspiring to reach the core? For example, exercise. Now, there are different sets of exercise, and this is the clearest example, because when we try to do different sets of exercise over a period of a couple of months, then you find a sweet spot which works for you, which is compound and it works for every aspect of your body, then you know that this is the core of where you can do it well, you can do it consistently, and it gives maximum benefits in terms of results.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's your core. So would you propose something where we experiment, we try out more than, you know, just for example, we spoke about the podcast itself, and like I said, I don't know exactly the overarching long-term thing, but I want to address a few things which are close to me, and eventually I'll find my core. You know what I mean? So
so I would say there is a part of you which would like to do this podcast, right?
Yeah.
And then I would ask you, or in this part, so where are you located in the body?
Yeah, maybe in the, it's not definitely not here. It's more towards the, you know, between the diaphragm here.
Yeah. And there is no wrong or right answer, right? So it's just really a guess because we don't know. So let's say it's in a heart area. So we say, okay, fine. So this part of you would like to make this podcast. What does it want through having this podcast? Just feel it without really thinking. Just feel.
Yeah, maybe connection.
Connection. Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. You see, You see the part one's connection, and then we ask this part, and when we have this connection, just the way this part wants to have this connection, what do you want through having this connection? That's even deeper.
Yeah, it's like fulfillment or happiness or sense of achievement or general well-being.
Well-being. Yes. And then
I can think of it.
Yes, and then we'll keep asking, and when you have this well-being, achievement, just the way this part wants it, not you in the head, but your part in your heart wants it, what do you want through this?
Yeah, I think it's it goes back to something more childhood. Something missing from the formative years, you know, between the 6 and 8 years of age. So, more kind of attention or kind of connection.
Yeah. Excellent. So connection. So when we keep talking about this and we're communicating with this part, and obviously we can do it later on, but this is just really testing the water. We could really go deeper and find out this 6-year-old and give him that connection and then see what is there even more, more deeper, really. And then when this 6-year-old got this connection and then grows and knowing that there is a connection already, could just, see the 6-year-old having the connection, the 7-year-old having this connection, the 8-year-old having this connection. This connection is there for him already, right? And then suddenly you start opening new horizons and new ideas, and there is new ways and strategies somehow just show up for you without you really forcing it. It's just coming up in front of your mind, just like, wow, suddenly there is something new door you receive. And this is the unconscious mind opening this door for you. Because you're not doing it with your brain. It just comes.
Okay. Now, how important is this, for example, should everyone be engaging into tapping into their subconscious or unconscious mind? Is it something of an obligation to everybody that you will have a life well lived only if you have tapped into your subconscious or unconscious mind, or you have lived a life of unfulfilled purpose if you have not tapped into your unconscious mind? Is that how it is? Does everyone have an obligation to tap into it? Or some people just find it, they didn't do any work and they just find it when they were young. You know, I want to be a musician, or I want to be a writer, or an actor, or be a businessman. So no experiment done. Or is it only for some people, like the ones who have not figured everything out or want to unwire some of their recent or past traumas, or want to know or maybe even find their purpose later in life?
Yeah.
So is this an experiment for everybody, or is this something only for a few?
Right. Well, first of all, I don't like to speak about obligations. I mean, who I am to tell someone there is an obligation, because I love to be free and I wish everyone is free. So there is no obligation for anything. And I think, well, to be honest, when we are on this earth, there is always something that we could work on, and there are parts, I think, because when we are ready with our parts, then probably we can die, when we're alive on this earth, then there is something to do, right? I mean, for us to evolve, right? So I think that even the most happiest person with everything, and still there is something they could process, Let's say the most simplest, I don't know, like, how many siblings you have, but like there is a kind of psychological experiment. Like if you are a firstborn child in the family, you have some particular problems or like conditioning.
You are second. We have three brothers. And you're three brothers. I'm second.
And you're in between. Okay.
Yeah, between. Yeah.
So there is
which has its own set of problems being in between.
And also, just this one thing, being in the between, you got some patterns and some conditioning, which you would have pluses and minuses, and there will already be something that you could probably find why it was a issue for you as a child, right? I mean, I'm not talking about you, I don't know you, but I mean, in this sense, but like people who are born in the middle, like they are not there and they're not there. So they're kind of who I am, you know? And for example, and the one which is the firstborn, they also have their own issues, you know, like they got another sibling, they didn't have attention, they didn't receive enough love, whatever. And the one which is in the last one, the youngest child, like I have some clients, they have also issues. They say, well, I was the youngest and nobody took me seriously. Whatever I said, they will just laugh at me. And, you know, so because they didn't take the child seriously, obviously. So also already just this simple thing already would give you something to work on.
Okay.
And this is so, and it's just such a sweet, maybe even you could laugh about it, right? Maybe it's not a real trauma, but there will be something that you could already explore. And while you explore, you grow and you evolve. So I think everyone has some potential to explore. It's not that they must.
Yeah. So what I can take away from here, from this, is like you mentioned, the word evolve. So everyone has the ability to evolve if they do some basic thinking around, you know, and ask some very basic question without tapping into their subconscious. If this ask, why am I saying the way, why do I talk the way I talk? Why do I act the way I act? Why am I the way I am? There are some basic questions. They would get answers, you know, from like you said, you know, being the youngest, not being taken serious. I feel that I'm not being taken serious because I was the last child and I wasn't taken serious when I was growing up. So, which is not a fact. People do love me. People do take me seriously. But my subconscious keeps pushing this idea that whatever I just said is not being taken seriously, which is not real. And then the self-fulfilling prophecy kicks in.
Yeah.
You know, just because you think people are not taking you seriously, you start acting in a way.
Yes.
You start arguing in a way. You start, you know, putting people in difficult positions, and then they don't take you seriously. You know, you just did exactly what you were afraid of. You know, you just executed it perfectly. Yeah.
Yeah. Because the part.
I mean, yeah, I love what you're doing, Nell, and. Yeah. I'm going to read the book that you've written, and also any last words or anything that you would want to share, anything about your clients or anything. I've taken a lot away from what you've said.
Yes.
And I'm going to implement, this pattern of looking at this particular part and start questioning this part and getting to the core. And definitely this session has helped me personally.
Yes.
And
I'm glad.
Although I'd done a lot of work on this area, I didn't think that, you know, to isolate it, the issue of being just one part. So I am going to take that approach and try to resolve it with that one part.
Yes.
And I think it's important to resolve if you can, because if it's not resolved, it manifests into other problems.
Absolutely.
Issues,
absolutely.
You know, which some people can solve.
Yes.
But it's just mere inconveniences. You know, mere inconveniences over inconveniences. So it's better to resolve it once and for all.
And absolutely, yeah. Because this part will keep coming back and knocking your door because it wants you to receive that core state and evolve through this problem. And it will keep knocking your door until you really look at it. And yes. And you see, we don't say resolve or reprogram. We say integrate because this part is there and it's also part of you. So we want to give that part what it wants and then come back to the core, but not extreme as it used to be because it will override the whole thing, but it will be kind of more aligned. And that's the work which we do. And they are not one part, there are many parts. And obviously, I would love to test this with you if you want. Let's do the one-to-one and then we'll see what all is coming up. There is just one more thing maybe I just want to mention, because you mentioned the why. You see, I stop asking why, because I see that this question why doesn't really help. Because I know why. Let's say, okay, I have a problem because I'm a second child in the family. Okay. Why you have a problem? Well, I'm a second child in the family. Okay, and then? Okay, you understood this issue?
Yeah, it doesn't really answer anything.
And then?
Any answers.
Okay. Yeah. And so the question why is good just to understand, and there we are human beings. We need to understand, right? But it doesn't solve the issue. So in my sessions, and this is another thing, I don't need to know why. And I don't really need to know a lot about, like, let's say, information about you at all. I don't need to know the context. And still I can help this part because I'm not worried. I'm not thinking about the history or the details. So you could really work with confidential things with me because I don't care why, who, when, and all this. It's about the part. And how the part experiences all. Okay, so the fantastic. why is really doesn't matter at all.
Interesting. I mean, the questions we ask should be the right questions. Also, Del, where can we find you? Where people want to know more about what you do? How can they find you?
You know, on Google, internet. coreconfidence.com.
That's CALMFIDENCE. Confidence.
Yes. I came up with this word. It's a play word, core and confidence. Core being kind of seed, the center, the spine of everything. And then calmness and confidence. I brought it to confidence. So basically it became core confidence.
Okay. Anyways, I'm going to put your details on the show notes.
Yes.
On YouTube and Apple, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast, you'll get it. Also, your website link.
Thank you so much.
They can reach out to you directly.
Thank
I found
you
this
so
very
much.
Interesting, Lely. There's a lot of things that I learned which I didn't know. I thought I had studied a lot on this topic.
Yes.
But I found out that there's always something new and interesting, and like questions that you ask, you know, the way you address your part and the spiral notebook concept method.
Yes.
So this is something which definitely I'm going to work on, and it's been a huge takeaway for me.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Really appreciate you taking your time and you know, having this session with me. And I hope people have found this beneficial, and I'll encourage them to get in touch with you. And
thank you.
I'll be in touch with you definitely.
Yes, my pleasure. My pleasure.
Till we meet next time. Yeah. And you know, you have a good evening then.
Thank you so much, Ashraf. It was a pleasure talking to you and for your questions, all insightful questions. And thanks for being on that journey and making this connection. You see, there is a part which wants this connection, and there is definitely a reason for that. I'm actually very happy you're doing it.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. We should do it another time. Maybe yes. Part 2.
Yes. Well. Whatever
Thank
comes.
You. Thank you.
All right. All the best. Thank you, Ashraf.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.